Excuse me.
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 Hello, everybody, and welcome to Morgan Dorks. This is a bi-weekly Daria podcast where we take an in-depth look at our favorite animated teenage misanthrope episode by episode. I'm Rob Press.
And I'm Nissa Lee. And today we are looking at Season 5, Episode 11, Prize Fighters, in which scholarship application season heats up in Lawndale. And it has Daria in direct competition with Jody. And technically Upchuck, but, let's be real. The episode aired on June 11th, 2001, and it was written by Nina Bieber. Good old Nina Bieber.
Yeah.
This is the last of the six Bieber episodes, and while her first two, Mailed and Monster, are in the middle to low end of our rankings, her last three, Pierce Me, The Lost Girls, and Psychotherapy, have all been pretty solid. In fact, Pierce Me currently sits at number 3 on our list. Thanks to me, I think.
That was a good one, though.
It really was.
I have fond memories of that episode, and I'm glad that it's still up there on the list. Yeah, it's so weird. Like, we're slowly checking off these names,
Yeah.
We're coming to the last of everybody's episodes.
Bye-bye, Bieber.
Yeah.
Are we even saying her name correctly?
I believe so. I feel like I remember looking it up originally, because we had this exact conversation, back when she did Mauled.
Yeah.
And I feel like we got it right. If we're getting it wrong, then this is the last time.
Yeah. And, we've spent so much time reading that we really can't pronounce anything, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. When you read a word a bunch of times, but you never hear it pronounced. Yeah,
and then you're like, that's how you say that word.
You're saying it's actually gubernatorial? That can't be right. Get the fuck out of here. Including tonight, we have 5 episodes left.
What?
Which is insane to me.
Yes, it is.
But.
Yeah, somehow I thought by the end of the year, we'll have recorded all the episodes, but
no, we're looking at by the end of the summer.
We'll be slackers about it.
No. I mean, not an unfair assumption.
Well, also, like, who knows when Rob is going to need another open heart surgery?
Yeah, that's true. I'm such a little rascal that way.
Oh, but we're really rolling along.
It's
nearing the end of an era.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
We'll figure out what comes next, but holy moly.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think maybe we should, we have a pretty substantial beat by beat this time around as opposed to last time. So
let's do this.
Yeah, let's roll into
it. Yeah.
So we open at the Morgan Orford dinner table, where Jake is inexplicably in charge of the food again. He's done with frozen lasagna, and now thanks to, quote, Basement Bob's Bulk Rate Steak and Sausage.com, he's bringing his family the joys of near wholesale prime rib. It's apparently a financial decision, because he's only just now realizing that feeding 4 grown people is not a cheap endeavor. Quinn points out that Daria is going to be heading to college soon, so surely that'll save some money. Daria notes that those savings will probably be more than a little offset by tuition and room and board. And Helen and Jake, parents of high school age daughters, suddenly realize that college will cost money. The subject of scholarships comes up, and Daria's prospects are a little grim because of her lack of extracurricular activities. Still, Helen suggests Daria look into her options. Jake's prime rib arrives, except it's actually just a giant box of hot dogs. Keeping in mind that the show had its own things that it wanted to do with the 5th season in the wake of Is It Fall Yet? the timing of this episode is crazy to me. We are presumably only a few months from Daria's graduation. I cannot imagine that Helen, of all parents, of all people, would only just now be getting around to talking to Daria about scholarships. Like, just last episode, she was lamenting how frustrating it was that her mother refuses to help Daria and Quinn out financially. Like, there's no way this should only be coming up now. You normally start looking at scholarship opportunities in the summer after your junior year, so between like 11th and 12th grade, not months before graduation.
Yeah, would she even be eligible for anything at that point?
Probably not.
Timing seems a little off.
Right.
Yeah, the show has taken its own long and winding road since the College Board episode in season one. Apparently, that little field trip caused Jake and Helen to completely put the financial burden of college out of their minds. They've just completely forgotten about it, you know?
As for future Helen and Jake to worry about, those suckers, they always take the fall. So for those unfamiliar with post-secondary education in the United States, we've discussed it a bunch of times in other episodes. Like, college is a wildly expensive undertaking. It's maybe the second largest financial decision of a person's life, next to buying a house. The debt that results from this is often crippling, and you can chip away at that with scholarships and grants. When you are a, quote, middle-class family worried about the financial ramifications of putting two children through college, scholarships can be a pretty huge deal. I will say that they act as if Daria has absolutely no chance whatsoever because she doesn't have any extracurricular activities, but she's also like an astoundingly good student.
So yeah,
like her academic prowess probably shouldn't have as much difficulty with getting a scholarship as Helen implies.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, that will kind of play out throughout this episode, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is true.
Before we move on, let's talk about these hot dogs for a second. This is what I'm concerned about, this B plot here. Jake ordered food in bulk online and then prepared dinner to include that food, even though it hadn't been delivered yet.
Yeah.
And it's delivered just as they sit down to eat their really weird looking baked potatoes. like, not even Amazon Prime shipping in like 2021 can manage this kind of accuracy. So what I want to know is, what kind of connections does Jake have?
Man, I don't know. He's got some pull somewhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I also really like the line when it's like, ding dong, and that must be the prime rib. And Daria says, I just assumed it would be dead, and here it is ringing the doorbell.
There are a lot of really good little individual lines throughout this episode are pretty damn usual. Good. Yeah. I will say, like, okay, look, the idea that Jake timed this perfectly somehow in conjunction with the postal service is absolutely insane. But also, like, it's not timed perfectly, because if your prime rib is just getting to your door when you have a baked potato on the plate and a salad being tossed, you are in trouble.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if those things are rare, you're still looking at another like 15 minutes, you know, once you count like resting and everything. Totally not it's not the thread to pluck at necessarily.
No, it's really just a matter of convenience for the sake of the story.
Yes, absolutely. Also, like, look, you know what? Hot dogs are good. I like hot dogs. If you
hot
told
dogs
me, hey,
are
Rob,
really
you're gonna
weird.
Oh, they're extremely weird. It's not, I mean, they're not okay, right? Like,
No, they're not okay.
Food doesn't come naturally in that shape. It's not, you know, doesn't come naturally in that kind of casing or anything, but
I have yet to try a vegan hot dog, but I do have the liquid smoke and I want to try it.
So vegan hot dogs, the problem I have with vegan hot dogs is that vegan food is at its best when it's not trying to be meat.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And this is really like the recipe I have my eye on is really like a flavored carrot on a bun with toppings, you know? Yeah.
This is serving vegan hot dogs, guys. It's a carrot with mustard on a bun.
Oh my God, it sounds so much worse than it actually looks.
Yeah. The flip side of that, the flip side of, you know, vegan foods are at their best when they're not being meat. I am amazed at the ingenuity of people to just create these wild, like I saw vegan bacon made out of like noodled carrots. Like yeah. Carrots are apparently real big in replicating pork, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. I don't know. I think we may have seen the same video.
It's just wild. It mm-hmm. is wild. Anyway,
let's get on with it.
As if the writers heard us talking shit, Helen meets Daria in the living room for some post-dinner discussion about applying for academic scholarships and stresses that this is less about Helen and Jake's financials and more about making sure Daria has her choice of schools, which is really just another way of saying it's about Helen and Jake's financials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to get up pretty early in the morning to sneak one by the Morgan Dorks. Later that evening in Daria's room, Jane's hanging out while Daria checks out scholarship opportunities. Daria points out that many of these scholarships are only being offered to students who have chosen very specific things to focus on and excel in, like musicians or gymnasts, which kind of sucks. She finds something that might work for Jane, but Jane shrugs off the very concept of scholarships because she's not going to kiss someone's ass for money to go to a place she doesn't even have any interest in. Little bit of foreshadowing there, but we'll ignore it for the moment because Daria stumbles upon a scholarship being offered by the Wizard Foundation, a $10,000 prize to the student who best embodies the, quote, wizard pursuit of excellence, unquote. Entry requires an essay which asks only one question: how would you change the world if you could?
Well, that's just wizard.
Oh, boy.
Before we actually have a conversation about this, I just want to point out that the Six Sad World episode is called Mime and Punishment.
It's very good. It is extraordinarily good.
It's really good.
We at some point, we drifted away from talking about the different puns for Six Sad World. And that's, you know, it's a little bit disappointing. but every now and then, they really hit you with one that's fantastic. And, yes. And this was definitely one of them. Without going too far into spoiler territory, this is not the last time we're going to see Jane indifferent to the idea of going to college, and there are going to be some pretty significant discussions about it.
You know, I really appreciate Jane's realistic perspective here.
Yes.
When Daria says that you have to specialize in something to get to get most of these scholarships, like you have to be a violinist or a published author or whatever, Jane says, "Geez, Daria, what have you been doing all of this time being a teenager?" Like, yes, exactly. Let the teenagers be teenagers.
Yes, God, yes. Jesus Christ, you only get one chance at it.
Yeah.
Christ's sakes. Also, another great little Jane line was when Daria was reading off the Wizard Foundation's, you know,
criteria.
The student who best embodies the, quote, wizard pursuit of excellence. Jane's response is the pursuit of excellence. So you don't actually have to catch it.
Yes.
I don't remember a lot from my scholarship applications. Like, I didn't fill many out, which is, of course, something I regret to this day. But this Wizard Foundation thing feels deeply, deeply familiar. Like, applying for scholarships is such a weird and frequently vague process.
Vague is such a good way to put it. Yeah, I am. This scene gave me not so pleasant flashbacks of being a clueless high school junior and senior. I remember feeling like there must be more academic scholarship opportunities out there, but I was such a liberal arts generalist that I had trouble finding things to apply for. And, you know, while I was scrolling through these clunky websites, I always felt like I was missing something. I don't know about you, but it's just like, where were the big scholarships? Like,
yeah,
tuition is thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in some cases. And these organizations want me to fill out an application and write an essay for like $500. Like, how many times would a person have to do that to pay for 4 years of college? It's absolutely ridiculous. So yeah, I didn't apply for nearly as many scholarships as I should have.
Yeah. I think the only scholarships I ended up giving were ones that were given to me. Like I got a $500 scholarship for being the editor-in-chief of the school paper, which is nice. And then the biggest scholarship I got was a $1,500 scholarship for winning a bowling tournament.
Yeah.
So, you know, priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly have no idea what scholarships I got, if any.
It ends up being meaningless, right?
Yes.
Like unless you're getting a huge, like I remember the $500 one because it was a nice little surprise at the end of my senior year, and I remember the $1,500 one because I was excited about winning a bowling tournament.
Yes.
But ultimately those amounts didn't mean a whole lot against, you know, the expense of college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At Lawndale High, Jody meets Daria at her locker to ask if she'd be interested in filling in as an editor for the school newspaper. There might be $500 in it for you. Noting that it'd give her another boost to her extracurriculars. Daria, weary of this conversation, points out she doesn't have any extracurriculars. And when Jody asks what she's going to do about her college applications, Daria says she's had this chat with her mother already. She tells Jody about the Wizard Foundation scholarship and the rigorous application process of an essay in a form. Jody says that's par for the course. Daria is just about done with this conversation and wanders away to the tune of Like a Feather by Nick Acosta. But we see the wheels turning in Jody's head, and thus where this episode's conflict is going to come from. I just want to note, Jody reveals the Wizard Foundation is apparently a software company.
Oh, yeah.
I was deeply curious about that for a little bit.
Wasn't sure if it was going to turn out to be kind of like Coca-Cola or something.
Yeah, yeah. Also, interesting name given what we learn about them later. This is one of those scenes that kind of changes dramatically for you as you get older. As a teen and especially a high school senior, you relate hard to Daria being completely over this process. As an adult, you're practically yelling at the screen for Daria to listen to Jody. it actually kind of ends up making Daria seem a little dickish, but very much in like a teenager's kind of way.
Yeah, the stress of the situation is making Daria pretty hostile toward Jody, and it's just not a good look for her. But I have to say, I still do relate to Daria very hard here.
I mean, yes,
I'm saying just do it, go on, but also like if you're a really good student and you're very busy, then like, how are you carving out the time to write these essays that determine the rest of your, you know, life?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, you'll probably, if you're anything like me, you become paralyzed at the enormity of it.
Right.
So.
Especially with a question that vague, like, how would you change the world if you could? Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and put that into 500 words and send that in and see what happens.
Maybe I'll write a pop song with a chorus of children or something, you know.
I love that that's what your head went to.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just like, come on.
Nissa would just like to buy the world a Coke. That's really all it goes down to. At the Morgendorfer kitchen table, Jane is listening to Daria's essay. Daria's suggestion for making the world a better place is the elimination of money, because it would mean politicians don't work at the whim of donors, CEOs don't squeeze their workers for every last penny, and students like Daria don't grovel for cash from groups like the Wizard Foundation. Jane points out that maybe this isn't the best approach for getting cash from a group like the Wizard Foundation, but Daria's resolute. This is who she is, and she doesn't want the prize. She doesn't want a prize for being anybody else. Helen wanders in, happy that Daria is working on the application, though as Daria points out, she probably wouldn't be so happy if she'd heard the actual essay. Jake follows soon after, desperate to find recipes that can churn through the industrial amount of hot dogs he's suddenly in possession of.
churn and industrial in the same sentence as hot dogs. Oh man.
I mean,
really killing it.
Look, that's how you get that is how the sausage is made. Thank you very much.
Also in the sentence, possession. So interesting. it could go places.
We're really burying things in the show notes now. We're like 68 episodes into this fucker. Okay, so we've talked a number of times over the course of this podcast about Daria's socialist leanings. And this essay about a world without money is another example of it in action. And it's not hard to see how Daria would arrive at this idea, given the constant money battles she sees between her mother and grandmother, the class disparity between her family and Tom's family. A world without these conflicts seems pretty appealing.
I, too, find this world without money appealing.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure I have gone through this exercise in my mind as well. And, you know, since the pandemic, I've acquired so much useless shit that I would make a killing in the bartering system.
Nissa has wares and pelts.
Yes. Trade me for your bags of rice.
Trade me for your carrots. They're extremely valuable. They can be anything. Haven't you heard? I'll say I appreciate the Jake's. This subplot for Jake is so incredibly stupid, but also like just kind of, I don't know. I kind of dig it because it gets weaved into, well, not weaved in. It like bursts in the door so many times throughout this episode.
Yes, it does.
And it's kind of like, I don't know. At first it's like, Jesus Christ, Jake's up to something stupid again, but it's just kind of like, shoots the moon and circles right back to actually being a little bit entertaining. And the instance of it here is Daria's reading her essay to Jane over a plate of sliced hot dogs.
That she's Jane, like scarfing down.
Yeah, she's going for it. And Jake comes in at the end of the scene to go like, you girls ready for some more hot dog slices? And Jane's response is a very polite, thanks, Mr. Morgendorfer, but I think I'm just as woozy as I want to be.
That does perfectly describe how you feel after eating a bunch of hot dogs.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. This is completely off topic, but I remember at one point when we were all living together in Pittman, and I had come home with like some kind of, I don't know, my stomach was really upset for some reason. I forget why. I don't think it was food poisoning, but it was not great. But Jeff had decided to do a giant cookout. So he had the grill going, and he just wanders through the house with this enormous plate full of various raw meats. And I'm sitting at the computer and my stomach is like doing backflips. And Jeff just wanders in with this enormous plate of raw meats. And he just like holds it 3 inches from my face and he just goes, meats? I very nearly yartsed all over the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Oh, so silly. Anyway.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's such a cherished memory. Mm-hmm. A few days later, Alan spots the mail from the Wizard Foundation. Daria opens it to find she's advanced to the interview stage of the scholarship application process. Helen and Daria's reactions to this news are exactly what you'd expect. But at Lawndale High, Daria approaches Jody to talk about the scholarship and seems happy to tell her the news. Jody reveals she's also advanced to the interview stage, and Daria is shocked to hear she's even applied. Seemingly out of nowhere, Upchuck intervenes to reveal that he, too, is among those who will be interviewed by the Wizard Foundation. He wanders off before Jody and Daria have a chance to say anything. Daria's clearly taken aback at the idea of so many other people having applied for this thing, and particularly unhappy with Jody about it. It's an awkward moment that takes us into the end of Act 1.
I mean, there's 3 of the 99 that have become finalists. it just seems like a small selection.
Yeah, Londo High is really churning them out, man. Yeah. It's not hard to draw a line between this conversation and the earlier note about Daria's socialist ideals. After all, Jody is basically the ideal high school student, and will be absolutely awash in scholarship offers, to say nothing of the fact that her family is wealthy. So why does she need another when it could go to someone who needs it more? One response to that would be, as I argue with myself in the show notes, one response to that would be that Jodi is a Black woman who overachieves because she knows the scales are forever tilted against her, and nobody should ever try to make her feel bad about that. And what's more, if Daria is going to defend her essay's tone and content by saying it's a true reflection of who she is, what place is it of hers to crap on the ambitious and opportunistic Jodi Langdon for being ambitious and opportunistic?
Bingo. Yeah. How about everyone just support each other here?
Yeah, seriously.
I think it's really shitty that our country's education system has forced friends to compete against each other for access to what really should be a basic human right. Like, yeah. A college education is necessary for way too many professions to not be socially supported at this point.
Absolutely.
So, what the hell?
There's just no excuse for it. Capitalism. Mm. If only we all listened to more Daria. Not us. We've listened to plenty of Daria.
Yes.
But if only more people listen to more Daria.
Exactly. Well, this is exactly what we're doing here, right?
Act 2 opens in the Morgendorfer kitchen, where Jake's still figuring out hot dog bullshit, but Helen's the one doing the grilling of Daria.
Oh! And
boom. Specifically, she asks what Daria is doing to prepare for the interview. Daria finds interview prep kind of pointless since Jodi's basically got it in the bag. Helen takes this opportunity to tell Daria she's found a coach who can help prepare her. Daria's not wild about the concept and considers it akin to cheating or buying your way to victory, but I think we all know where this is going. Over at Lawndale High, Upchuck approaches Daria to get some intel on his competition. After she shrugs off his attempt to swap essays and information, he instead bribes her with a role in his new Upstart.com business, which he formed based on the research he's done into the Wizard Foundation CEO. Daria's more than a little shaken by the quality of her competition.
Oh boy, Upchuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when Jake is grilling, we get the conversation between Helen and Daria, where we find that the intersection between Daria's A plot and Jake's B plot is Helen's line that it's a dog eat dog world. Oh my God, are you serious?
So good. So good.
The plots collide and it is a dog eat dog world.
It is the dumbest possible way. I'm telling you, it totally shoots the moon. It's such a stupid B plot, but it just works because they keep going for it.
Yeah. They really do.
Totally inconsequential detail, but Helen pulls a fucking massive pamphlet out of her jacket pocket.
Oh, yeah. A woman with deep pockets is a woman with power.
Yeah, that's true. That's why we have to deny them pockets.
I like how you took on the we there. Taking responsibility for your kind.
Huh? I've said too much. Lastly, look. If you ask me to come up with a .com company for Upchuck to found, I don't think ever in a million years I would have gone with candy sales. I just kind of assume he would be running like a Nipslipipedia or something.
Oh, God. I just need to pause for Nipslipipedia. Wow.
As somebody's out there buying that domain name right now.
Honestly, I think the candy sales choice makes him 1,000 times creepier.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not great.
No.
It's not. Weird. In the cafeteria, Daria is telling Jane about how rough things appear to be going on the scholarship front. Jane sympathizes, but is being kind of cavalier about it. Jodi joins them and immediately takes fire from Daria. But absolute queen she is, Jodi shrugs it off and says she wants a level playing field. She offers Daria the card of an interview coach her father's pushing, and surprise, surprise, it's the same person that Helen recommended. Jane Riley notes that an interview coach seems like exactly the sort of thing that creates an uneven playing field, but before it can explode into a proper argument, she decides to leave the table. And this is where we acknowledge that Daria's financial situation and need for scholarship money while certainly not as carefree as it could be, is still considerably better than that of many others, including Jane. It's another illustration of how Daria and her family are far from rich, but also far from poor. Kind of glad the show is diving into that a little, and I like that Jane is calling this stuff out.
Yeah. Interview coaches, SATs, SAT prep, student loans. It's almost like the university system has spawned a predatory industry around it. Oh, wait, it has.
And it feeds exclusively on people who are in their late teens.
Yeah, it is.
Yay.
Really, really awful. Truly evil.
Absolutely sucks.
Oh my God.
Just straight sucks.
Yeah, this is a very interesting conflict. What's going on with Jane here. And the fact that Daria, yeah, she's middle class. She's, you know, she's a good student, but, you know, is Lawndale High really that good of a school? Because it's not funded very well. Oh. You know, and, you know, as someone who hasn't, you know, specialized in something or done a million extracurricular activities, you know, the academics are only going to get her so far.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll chat a little bit later about just how interesting so much of the conflict is in this episode. There's a lot flying around.
Yeah.
It's a busy episode. Back at the Morgendorfer residence, the doorbell rings and it's Tom. He's immediately besieged by Jake and a big old plate of hot dogs because, of course, but he promptly excuses himself to go help Daria prepare for the interview. Tom's approach is not particularly helpful, which seems pointlessly obstructionist until Tom reveals the Wizard Foundation has a long and storied history of shitty exclusionary hiring practices that primarily favor, you guessed it, white men. Daria wonders if Jody's heard of this. Tom reacts with surprise. Where's Daria's moral outrage? Where's her insistence that she won't work with these terrible people? Daria's wondering that herself and looks uncertain as we reach the end of Act 2.
Okay, before we get into like the actual meat of this scene, get it? Meat. Caramel popped popcorn dog.
Yeah.
Sounds just disgusting.
It really does.
Wow.
No part of that sounds appetizing.
Yeah. Yes. Just ugh. And Tom's reaction after he like eats it a little bit, he's just like, yeah, I'm gonna go now, you know.
I need to not be in the room with you and those. I need to leave. Speaking of Tom, look, he's flawed in a lot of ways. And this season has been really kind of up and down for his character and how he's used. That said, I don't know if there's any better use for him than as the backup unit for Daria's moral core.
Hmm. Yeah. This interaction is interesting to me because Tom has prepared to rile Daria up.
Yeah.
In preparation for something that's really important to her, right? In her future.
Right.
And, you know, he wants to make her question the source of a potential scholarship that she needs, but his family is so much more wealthy than hers. And, you know, he is a white male that in the Wizard Foundation would, you know, benefit from that. Like, he can afford to ask those questions. And he's, like, giving her shit for not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great look.
No.
It's tough because like I said, I do like when he is holding Daria accountable morally, but yeah, it's such a huge wrinkle to throw into it because like you said, you know, the scholarship would be a drop in the bucket for him and his family, and it's not the same for Daria, and you know, this has been a source of conflict for them in the past. And it's kind of interesting that it doesn't become one here, but we have more than enough conflict as it is.
Yeah, so. There's so much going on.
Yeah. And speaking of interesting wrinkles, like the Wizard Foundation being a really shitty place is another interesting wrinkle. And it kind of gets into part of why the American post-secondary education system is such hot bullshit. Like, the need for financial aid and scholarships is dire, and the resulting competition can impact people in myriad ways. In this instance, Daria knows her scholarship opportunities are limited, and the resulting competition appears to have her whistling past the fact that it would mean she throws her hat in with a garbage corporation.
Yeah, I agree. This adds some interesting complexity to the conflict. I'm a little surprised that Daria didn't know about it or find out about it sooner, but I guess, you know, she has things to do.
Yeah, other stuff going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I would at least, look them up a little bit before I, you know.
Write an essay and send it to them and ask for money.
Like, are you guys really worth, you know, tying my name to?
Right.
Also, at this point in the episode, I was a little confused. Like, is this a scholarship opportunity or some kind of internship or job opportunity? Because it sounds like, you know, she's preparing for a job to be like part of the company, right?
And it's kind of treated like that in the next scene too, which is just weird. And I mean, Daria ends up drawing a distinction between she ends up drawing a distinction that kind of helps out, which we'll get to in a second. But yeah, it's almost like they're being used interchangeably, and they're very much not interchangeable.
Yes, no.
For example, at least a scholarship gives you some goddamn money.
Yes.
Act three opens at the Langdon residence, where Daria is talking to Jody about the Wizard Foundation's shitty hiring practices. Jody's not thrilled in the least, but when she talks to her dad about it, he points out the change isn't going to happen from the inside. It has to come in the form of impressive young women like Daria and Jody making the case and raising eyebrows. It's a compelling enough argument to keep Daria and Jody from dropping out. Jody mentions she's about to go meet with the interview coach, Dr. Donata, and Daria realizes maybe she should give him some thought as well. So as we were just saying, like, Mr. Langdon's argument sounds great and all, but it'd be way more compelling if he were arguing in favor of their getting hired at the company, not just receiving a scholarship prize. Yeah, I mentioned that Daria draws a distinction between, you know, the scholarship and the internship, and I do think she's spot on here, because her response to him is, look, this scholarship sounds like a great way for a bad company to get good press without having to actually rectify any of its internal issues.
Absolutely. Yes.
And it is interesting, though, that Mr. Langdon's approach to corruption is the same as his daughter's, which is like, approach it head on, you know, get involved, get active, make change happen. You know, the apple clearly didn't fall far from the tree there.
Right. His approach does seem to go along with what Helen was saying about there being nothing wrong with a little competition. Daria's default is non-participation as protest. But we're seeing an argument building for action as the way to progress. So,
yeah. At Dr. Donata's office, Daria is being coached, and it is not going great. Dr. Donata is firing off all the normal cliche advice, but the wall he's running up against is that Daria doesn't really seem to want the scholarship. He asks her about it, and she points out that Wizard Foundation is an unethical place, so would it make her more deserving of the prize to act ethically or unethically? He tries to shift the conversation over to what Daria is going to wear, and Daria shoots him her over this bullshit face. I took a screenshot of, I don't know what it was. It could just be that I've watched a lot of Daria, talked about a lot of Daria over the past 3 years, but for some reason, that particular Daria face hit like a truck. Like, it's just,
do you have the screenshot? Do you want to share it?
So I took the screenshot and I posted it on Twitter, the same thing I just said. Like, I don't know if I've just watched too much Daria, but something about, because it's very much just her face. Like, it's nothing, you know, crazy different from what you would normally see, but I don't know if it's context or what, but just the stare she gives this guy is fucking amazing. So yeah, check the Morgadork's Twitter for that. I don't know. It was a lot of fun to see. I actually cracked up at it, which, you know, that's where my head's at.
I just cannot with his telling Daria, you know, well, countering with Daria's completely legit ethical concerns with asking what she plans to wear. It's
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. not cool at all.
No, it sucks. It's garbage. And even when he's actually like dispensing quote unquote advice, it's just such bullshit.
Yes.
I've been required by several workplaces to sit in on training sessions with people like Dr. Donata, and it's an amazing racket. It's incredible that these people get so much money to do these things.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, like I'm, look, I am not a gifted public speaker. I am not great at, you know, acting professionally.
So naturally you have a podcast.
Yeah. So naturally I have a podcast because I get to talk into a microphone and not other people.
You don't talk into other people.
Correct. I don't talk into other people.
Prepositions are hard.
Look, it is late and I am tired. I am not talking into other people. It's a horrifying mental image, by the way.
Yeah, it really is. Did I tell you that my company got the power pose lady to talk at our last company retreat?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Did you learn a power pose?
You know, she, it was actually a really interesting talk, you know, like, it's funny because like what she's saying makes sense, you know, but it's like, also, I'm like, gotta be skeptical about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a really interesting talk, and she talked about, the effect the pandemic was having on people and that kind of thing. But like, I just can't get over the fact that like they got the power pose lady to talk for us. You know?
So good.
I mean, there are some like issues with it, like looking at it, you know, on the surface level, you know, telling someone they need to better their posture instead of like addressing systemic racism, sexism, and like toxic work ethic. That's really the problem. But, you know, there's something deeper to it.
Yes, institutional racism is real and held down basically anybody other than white men for generation upon generation. But have you tried sitting up straighter?
Yes. Have you tried the Superman pose? Yeah.
At Lawndale High, Daria relays the story of her Dr. Donata visit to Jane, who's unsurprised about how it turned out. She's more focused on why Daria even wants the scholarship in the first place, though, as it is, quote, just buying into the system. And there isn't much difference in sucking up the way she wants to versus the way Dr. Donata wants her to. Daria's confused and a little offended, but she doesn't have much time to get into it because Jane points out that applying for scholarships and using big words doesn't make anyone smarter than anyone else. She storms off, leaving Daria mostly just confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, again, you know, I really love where Jane's coming from here. Like, this episode has a lot of conflict, and a lot of it is surprisingly good. Like, I love the dynamics at play here between Daria and Jody, Daria and Jane, Daria and the Wizard Foundation, Daria and her own moral compass. Like, there's just so much going on here.
Right. And then and then you look at Daria's side and you're thinking, okay, so what is she supposed to do if she needs to go to college? You know, if she's expected to go to college, how can she not buy into the system? Right.
Right. Absolutely.
She's not like, you know, super talented artist like Jane is. So,
Right. Right. But yeah, but also like there's only so, it can only take you so far being a super talented artist.
Right.
And I mean, we'll get into that a little bit later. It's just, there's just no winning. Yeah. There's just no goddamn winning. And nope. It sucks. Later that day at Lawndale High, a Wizard Foundation representative sits down with Daria, Jody, and Upchuck to conduct the interview. The interview questions are pretty trite, as are Jody and Upchuck's responses. Daria, meanwhile, is mostly just shutting shit down. The interviewer is frustrated with all three of them. Final question is why each student deserves the scholarship. Jody and Upchuck give answers you could see coming from a mile away, but Daria proceeds to go off on the Wizard Foundation hiring and promotion policies. The interviewer says it feels like Daria doesn't want this scholarship, and she seems to agree. He then says it's a shame because they loved the lighthearted spoof of an essay she sent in. And we only get a second with Daria's what the fuck face before we're on to the next scene.
That's how I felt too. I was like, what? What? Did I miss something?
Jesus. You know what? I love that turnaround though.
Yeah.
Like this, because of course they're so shitty that they're going to think that it was a total spoof.
Yeah.
I made Jody's answers sound worse than they really are, I guess, but it comes down to her not really saying anything particularly mind blowing. It's just kind of a letdown considering Jody, you know?
Yes.
Still, I would draw an enormous distinction between her responses and those of Upchuck, who just went like full suck up.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This scene was so painful and so brilliant. I was thinking going into it, how bizarre it was that they were being interviewed as a group and not individually. Mm-hmm. But with the three of them together, we get to see two examples of cringeworthy stock answers, as Daria put it. And then we get to see Daria actually have the courage to stand up for what she believes in, even if it means self-sabotage, in front of her peers and competitors. So we see her grow, you know, as an individual in this scene, but also, you know, in comparison and in spite of who is around her.
Right.
So, it works.
It does. And that's the, look, that is the principled thing. We've talked about this so many times where Daria, you know, for better or for worse, she has her principles. Like she has a moral code and she will stick to it. And it will often end up costing her, sometimes socially, sometimes in terms of relationships, and sometimes financially. And, you know, it's part of what makes her an interesting character. She's not, we have to draw a distinction between a character who sticks to their principles no matter what, and a character who is impeccable and without flaw, because Daria is definitely with flaw. Mm-hmm. We see some of those flaws throughout this episode, you know, and those are interesting things. I think it's fascinating to have this character who, you know, they have their moral code, it's what they stick to, and that's all there is to it. But it's not, you know, it's not a Superman situation where like everything she does is going to be the right thing to do, or everything she does is going to clearly work out in the end because, you know, she stuck to her principles and that's all there is to it. It's not that simple in life. You know, doing the right thing, doing the morally righteous thing, doing the thing that doesn't compromise, you know, who you are or what you believe in, frequently does not work out too well for you.
Nope.
It's interesting to see that, you know, again, as we have said so many times, especially in a show geared toward teenage girls. Anyway, that was a nice little rant there.
Yes.
So we get a hard cut to the curb outside of Lawndale High, where Jody, Daria, and Upchuck all sit in various states of meh. None of them got the scholarship. Jody notes that Daria shouldn't be too upset since she didn't want the award in the first place. Daria replies that she did want it. Not enough to smile and lie, but enough to get mad at Jody for applying. She apologizes to Jody, and Jody apologizes for not telling Daria she was applying to the scholarship too. They bond over the fact that they both just sucked up to a racist, sexist company, and it seems like everything's cool again. In the cafeteria, Jane approaches Daria to say she's sorry to hear about the scholarship. She goes on to say that watching all of the academic superstars battle it out over who gets a scholarship made her feel a little left out. She's, quote, good at the things she's good at, and grades isn't one of them, unquote. The two talk about how they never used to worry about these sorts of things, and Jane notes Daria's maybe a little bit more competitive than she thought, which is how we transition over to the parking lot, where Jake's holding a hot dog eating contest. And we go to credits with Everything to Everyone by Everclear.
That B plot.
Yes. Wow. God, I fucking love it. It's so stupid, but it works so well. Just give me an entire show of Daria and Jody talking one-on-one about how they're feeling and what they're thinking. I'll never stop watching. I'll make another podcast about it.
Although I think that Jody didn't really need to apologize for not telling Daria.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
It's kind of bogus that she ended up apologizing to her, but also like you can kind of see how the flow of that conversation would move in that direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, Jody's so goddamn nice.
Like, I know.
Good on Daria for being able to express herself so clearly at the end here. Like, this has been a really bizarre and difficult episode for her morally, and her articulation of it is a breath of fresh air after all of the back and forth that she's been dealing with throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, you know, being able to say, like, I wanted the scholarship, not enough to lie about it, but enough to be pissed that you wanted it. Like, that's tough. You know, it is such a succinct way of putting a very complex set of feelings.
Right.
I don't know. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, showing, you know, the way that competition can really just sour everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Jane and Daria's talk too. This yes. back and forth about selling out, or maybe we're just getting older. Oh, I hit so hard. But I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking like, well, it's about age, but it's not about age, right? It's about the fact that we are hardwired to observe our environment and follow the example of the people around us. And, you know, that means survival if we do that.
Yes.
And when everyone is telling us that it's college or death, we'll choose college. Right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, man. Oh, also burnout girl sighting.
Hell yeah. She's sitting right behind them.
Yeah.
Hi, Karen Disher.
Yay.
Actually, speaking of what you were talking about with Jane and Daria's talk, like I really like Jane's arc through this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't a huge part of the episode, but it's super important to underscore, and I cannot say this enough. This cannot be said enough. Enough people cannot hear this. Not everybody is wired for academic success.
Yeah.
The broad stroke approach means that school systems just aren't built to measure what makes every individual exceptional. And to take it a step further, the flaws in the broad stroke approach are why we remarked before that not everybody needs to go to college, and that needs to be a much bigger part of the conversation for high school age folks. Mm-hmm. It is perfectly fine to have other ideas for your own future. You don't need a bachelor's degree to learn a trade. Pursue the things you're interested in.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. You know, it breaks my heart because Jane doesn't sound particularly thrilled that she's good at the things she's good at.
Yeah.
But Jane has things she's good at, which is amazing, and she shouldn't feel inferior because those things don't require a college degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's so much – we were talking about this in the pre-show. Like I am routinely – you know, I've been working with a lot of contractors lately because that's what happens when you buy a house.
Yep.
And I am routinely just fucking stunned at the depth – of their brilliance in working with these things. Like it is an entirely other, it's a whole other world that I have so little insight into. Like I'm a relatively smart guy. I'm not that kind of smart.
And no, like the useful kind of smart.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. The practical kind of smart. The
yes.
Could survive in the wild kind of smart.
Yes.
But it's like, I feel confident in saying that I can pick things up quickly and all that. And like I can learn. But you know, just the sheer ability to, you know, walk into a room and say, okay, yeah, this is wrong. I'm gonna fix this and this, and I'm gonna do it, you know, through a whole bunch of manual labor. and I'm gonna make something out of nothing. And that's crazy. And you know, it's fascinating to get to watch it. And, you know, the stunning thing about it is that you don't need a degree for most of it. Like, it's something you learn. It's something that's passed on. It's a tradition.
Yeah, it's a tradition. There's also there is a lot of training that goes into it.
Yes, absolutely. There is a method of schooling, absolutely. Yes. But it's more along the lines of, like, you know, you do apprenticeships and you learn on the job, and there's so much more that goes into it that is less about, you know, cracking open a book. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating. And Jane, like, being an extraordinarily talented artist is like, she undersells that about herself. Oh, yeah. So much.
Oh,
it's,
yeah,
such a, like you said, it's absolutely a bummer. It's totally heartbreaking, because that's not a small thing. Like, creation is really cool. Like, being, yes, able to create something, to look at a blank canvas and then make a really amazing thing out of it. There are a lot of people who can't do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and
if there's anything that the pandemic has taught us, it's that we are nothing without some entertainment.
Absolutely. Holy shit. Anyway, so I got off on all sorts of rants there, but
yeah, this episode really, really hit the very tender spots.
Totally.
we're quite sore. Those wounds are never going to heal.
No. Those are the wounds of the liberal arts major.
Yes.
All right. I think with that, we should feel pretty comfy about going into our episode rankings.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So, mm-hmm, boy.
So,
where the hell are we going to put this one?
Yeah. I have no idea.
So, I guess I will look at, all right, this might be handy. I will look at the episode that I feel most closely matches this one,
mm-hmm,
in terms of some of the conflict we get, in terms of you know, some of the conversations we have, and that is Gifted, which is all the way down at number 38 on the list. Now, first of all, holy crap, it's all the way down at number 38 on the list. But I would okay, I guess the question would be, is this episode better or worse than Gifted?
Oh, well, geez.
My instinct is that it's better.
I think so too. I'm like trying to, you know, pull that episode out of my memory, right? But yeah, I do think it's better. I think the conversations that are had and the conflict is just so much more complex and nuanced. I think,
yes,
that it is better.
All right. So
now, bumping up from 38.
Yeah. I mean, we eliminated 26 episodes. I'm also looking at, like, God, we have this like batch of season 5 episodes from like 15 through 21.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think, because I feel like this is better than some of those.
Yeah. I mean, one J at a time. I'm thinking around, maybe around there.
Yeah, I was just looking at Speed Trapped, which is
Speed Trapped is just amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think this episode sneaks above that. But I do think maybe it sneaks above one J at a time.
Yeah. I know this conversation has been like super in depth and everything. But
oh yeah. Well, look, the headline at the very top of this file has, from the very beginning, said super professional and well-reasoned Daria episode rankings. Anything that goes into here is super professional and well-reasoned,
and
just
the
by
reason,
virtue of being in the list.
The reason is just Speed Trapped. You know, I went to get an eye exam for the first time in like 5 years recently.
Nice.
And I went to Lens Crafters. And the tagline I noticed was, because vision. Like, it's on their pamphlets. It's like everywhere.
Christ.
Like, because vision. Someone really just phoned it in. They were like,
yeah,
you know, glasses are glasses, man. People need to see.
That reminds me of the, I don't know if Checkers still has the tagline of, you gotta eat.
But it's pretty much that.
It's pretty much that.
You
yeah.
gotta see.
You gotta see. It's pretty important. Oh, boy. I love that. Yeah, there's, you know, it is kind of ableist to say you gotta see. You don't necessarily have to see.
Yeah.
Plenty of people get along just fine.
Apologies.
But also, it's that, like, you know, because vision. Yeah. Like, what the hell are you even saying?
I mean, you could have, like, played on, you know, vision, eyesight, vision, dreams, something cheesy like that.
Perfect clarity.
Yeah. Like
there's so many ways you can go with it, but nah, man, nah. Because vision.
You know what my tagline would have been? We see you. Do you see us?
Oh. Oh, that's good. That's very good.
This is why I work at a marketing firm.
Yeah, seriously. God damn.
They don't take my suggestions.
Nissa Lee Consulting over here.
Oh, I'm just Christ. Like in the weird part of, yeah.
You're the copy editors. The copy editors are always weird.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. Copy desk is always just full of bizarre human beings.
They look at us like, should we go over there? I don't know.
I think I'll just send an email. I wish I had a more convincing argument, but I feel like it just comes down to I enjoyed this episode more than 1J at a time and a little bit less than Speed Trapped.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it is a good episode. It's well written.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those episodes that makes me really sad. there's yeah. so much regret. She says and laughs because that's all she can do.
Totally. Ay, ay, ay. All right, let's go ahead. I'm going to put this in before we sink any further. Because we still have to read some fan stuff. So
yay, fan stuff. Let's bring that mood back up.
Yeah, totally. Well, all right. First of all, we have one last little bit of just tradition. So I'm going to drop in Prize Fighters at number 19. As we said, just under Speed Trapped, just above 1J at a time. I think it's a great position for it, even though, like I said, I really can't explain.
It's ineffable.
I could explain my logic. Yeah, it's ineffable. It cannot be effed.
Yes.
All right. And with that, all right, brought the mood back up. So now let's hit that interstitial music again and go into the fan stuff.
Fan stuff
with a little exclamation point at the end. You can't see it, but it's there. Trust me. We had more fan chatter this week. Always love hearing from folks. And this week we heard from one Jeff Sanders.
Am I reading this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Awesome. Hello there, Robin, Nissa. Hello.
Hi.
First off, I cannot tell you how happy I am that I came across your podcast. I recently have been into revisiting show recaps, and I started to think about what show I would want to get all nostalgic for. Immediately thought of Daria and how much I loved watching it on TV when I was 13, 14 years old. I watched it on a network called The N, which was an in-between network for early teenagers who were too old for Nickelodeon, Disney, Cartoon Network, etc., but maybe too young for MTV. I did not know about this,
yep,
this network.
Yeah, the N was pretty awesome.
Okay. All right. a world I do not know. Anyway, he says, I've been binging your episodes like crazy while Rob...
I'm doing some quick editing in there.
He's correcting sorry about the that. Spelling of binging.
I think I fucked it up. So I tried to unfuck it up and it happened to be while you were in the middle of reading it.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Let's start that paragraph over again. I've been binging your episodes like crazy. I think there was one day I listened to three of them and had no regrets from it at all. I'm glad someone doesn't have regrets.
That's such a positive review. I love it.
Y'all are so funny and have great insights. So it's been an absolute pleasure to listen to you two.
Aw.
Aw. I'm on season 5 and working my way to catch up with you too, but I did have two thoughts about some episodes. I know they fall into the concept of don't think too much about the plot and go with it, but it's still fun to ask. And hey, and also, hey, don't think too much about it.
You have entered our wheelhouse, sir. Yes.
One, in Camp Fear, how did the camp have the new address for the Morgendorfers? When they went to camp, they were in their early teen, preteen parts of life, and then they moved roughly 4 years after that summer, I assume. How would the camp have their new address to send to off the reunion invites?
So my mind immediately goes to, do you remember that I totally forget his name, but he was that one character who was like an extraordinary suck up.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was like deeply enthusiastic about all things camp.
And yes.
I'm willing to bet he's the culprit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's the one that's like, Daria moved.
Yeah. He's kept tabs on everybody. I guarantee you he's got a wall in his apartment with photos and string and all sorts of shit.
That's not creepy at all.
Oh, well, no, I'm saying he's a monster.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But yes. An extraordinarily productive one.
That is a much more creative explanation than I had, which was Helen is just an amazing person.
She's great at keeping up the contact list.
Yeah, she's on top of that address book. but very good point. Yeah. I had almost forgotten that they'd moved. All right, so point number two. In Lucky Strike, we see Daria be the language arts teacher for Quinn, but in reality, wouldn't she be teaching all of Mr. O'Neill's classes? She has Mr. O'Neill as a teacher, so wouldn't she also be teaching the class where she has with her classmate? Just thought about that while listening to the show.
That's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
I'm also going to blame that on the camp kid.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That makes complete sense.
I think you would think
that there would be some kind of boundary drawn, you know, thou shalt not teach your peers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty handy explanation, right? I think that's really what it might come down to. I think, did we mention in that episode at all that like, boy, this is a really convenient way to just have Daria teaching Quinn.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what you said.
Yeah, it's just you just have to kind of like whistle past the fact that it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Except, yeah, I do think like you said, there is some sense to, well, we can't have her teaching her own class. Like, that's not great.
Right.
Because really then also, how the hell does she get graded on the class?
Yeah, that doesn't seem very ethical, does it?
it would probably be the least of the...
least of Miss Lee's worries.
Totally, yeah. The least of the various violations of all sorts of codes, legal and moral, at One Lawndale High.
Well, thank you for writing in. That was... really awesome.
Yeah, that's
a very good
point. Fantastic. Totally. I love it. I this is what being a fan of a show is about sometimes, is just picking apart these little things, being like, well, why does that work like that? And, you know, the answer
How does Jake get the hot dogs right before dinner?
Totally. And the answer usually comes down to, well, the writers did it that way because that's just the easiest thing to do.
Yes. But,
you know, it's still fun to speculate about these things in universe. And it's, you know, it's a really good time. Also, at the end here, Jeff says he looks forward to hearing more of the intro and segment music playing on repeat. Yeah, me too.
Glad you leave that in.
Yeah, cause at some point, it's just, again, it shoots the moon and it becomes comical again.
Yes.
All right. Speaking of that blasted interstitial music, I think we might hear it one last time and roll into our outro.
Yes.
All right. Okay. And that about, it didn't repeat, sweet. And yes, that about wraps it up for this episode of Morgan Dorks. Check out our Patreon. You can sign up at patreon.com/MorganDorks. For $1 a month, you can support this silly little mission and listen to an unedited version of each podcast a few days before it airs. As always, please feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at MorganDorks, email us at MorganDorks@gmail.com, or check out our website, anchor.fm/MorganDorks. You can leave us an audio message on there. We haven't published that too much, but you can actually straight up leave us a message. It's really weird. We're also on Facebook, fb.me/MorganDorks.podcast. If you feel like typing all that out, you can also just search for MorganDorks. We will show up. Special thanks, as always, to Outpost Daria Reborn. Link is in the show notes. And as always, thank you, Nyssa.
And as always, thank you, Rob.
Yay. Woo. We will see you again in 2 weeks for Season 5, Episode 12, My Night at Daria's, here on Morgan Dorks.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that was a resounding success. Oh my God, it's repeating.
Yay. Oh.
I think Jeff
gets what he wants.
Yeah, I'm totally leaving that in. That's fantastic. You're welcome, Jeff.